I love God's word, and I also hate it. What I love about it is that, well, and what I hate about it, I guess it's the same thing, is that when I'm feeling a certain way, or when I'm thinking a certain way, or when I'm treated a certain way, or when my situations are a certain way, I really, in my like fleshly heart, want them to define me, because that would be so much better. But the good part is God's word is truth. And when I see that as truth in my life, then it doesn't really matter what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling. It matters what God's word says about my life, right? And so when I then realize that God's word's a little bit of medicine for me, right? It's sometimes painful, but it's also sometimes very freeing. In fact, I think they go hand in hand a lot. I read through the Bible with a little bit of a different lens sometimes. And I've told you many times before, I try to find myself in the scripture and say, where am I in this story? And for the record, it's usually not Jesus. Sadly, we're trying to be like Jesus, but I want to do that tonight. I want to talk about a topic called Seeking Seekers. That's the title we have tonight for this lesson. And I want to read to you three stories and see if there's some similarities in these stories and if we can find ourselves in these stories. We're going to start in Luke 19, verse 1. Some of you may have heard this story before, but it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." I don't know if they wrote it like that. That's how I read it. "And he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, and he could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with that man, with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." What did you hear about Zacchaeus in this story? What do we know about Zacchaeus? He was rich. That's right. What? He was short. Yes. What else? He liked to climb trees. Who said he was a sinner? Somebody said he's a sinner. There we go. He was a sinner. What else? What? He was a tax collector. But not just a tax collector. It says he was a chief publican. He was the leader of the tax collectors. Not a popular guy if you're a Jewish at that time. Or probably anybody. Nobody likes paying their taxes. So we read about this Zacchaeus, who is a rich, short, tax collecting sinner, who we also read was unpopular with the people because they murmured about him. Scene. Hold that thought. Mark 5, verse 24, totally different story. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." What do we know about this woman? What did it say? What? We can assume that. It didn't say that, but we can assume that. What does it say? What are the words? She was sick. Yep. She had an issue of blood. Well, you know what? I take that back. Was that Brittany? It did say she spent all her money. So that whoever said poor, we're going to give you that one back. That's a point. It says she spent all her money. It says she could not be healed. And while it doesn't say it, if you know Jewish tradition, if you were bleeding, you were unclean. So she was unclean. So we have a unclean, poor woman with an issue of blood. Okay, scene. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18, third story. We're going to go through 3.5 stories today, okay? Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. This faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What do we know about this man? What does it say? He was blind. What else? He was a beggar. What else? He's begging. I'm going to go with poor again. So whoever said that, you get 2 points. He was begging. If you read this story in Mark, they note that he was the son of Timaeus. Some people would call him Bartimaeus, or meaning son of Timaeus. So this man is a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road with no money calling out for Jesus. You know, you read these three stories and sometimes you think this is very interesting. These are three very different stories. But as you start to read them together, there's some commonalities you find. We find in Zacchaeus that he approached with a need. He approached needing salvation and needing forgiveness. We see the woman with the blood approached with a need to be cleansed. We see a man with the blind man was there looking for his sight. Looking for his sight. We'll do that. Looking for his sight. And if you look at each story, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood wanted to touch Jesus. And the blind man wanted to be heard by Jesus. But there was a problem, because in each one of these verses, it talks about a press, a thronging, a crowd. It says in Zacchaeus that there was a press and a throng. The woman with the issue of blood, it describes it as much people followed and thronged and pressed together. And the blind man, it says a multitude. In Mark's description, he calls it a great number. So we see this story of these three people with needs, and we see this one wanted to see Jesus, one wanted to touch Jesus, one wanted to be heard by Jesus, but there was this pressing, thronging crowd around Jesus. And for Zacchaeus, the crowd was too tall. And for the woman with the issue of blood, the crowd was too tight. And for the blind man, the crowd was too loud. And so you could probably start to sympathize with them if they could just switch places, right? Maybe the blind man could be with the tall crowd because maybe they weren't as loud. I don't know. Are we starting to see some of the similarities in this story? And they all approached Jesus a different way. It says Zacchaeus ran before. It said the woman with the issue of blood came in the press from behind. And it said the blind man shouted out from the wayside. Huh. A similar story of three people with different needs, with different problems, in different situations, approaching Jesus in three different ways. Zacchaeus approached him from the front, the woman approached him from behind, and the blind man yelled out from the side. And how did they approach? It says Zacchaeus climbs up. It says the woman crawled low. And it said the blind man sat on the side. And what did they do when they got there? Zacchaeus climbed up the tree and looked. He watched. The woman with the issue of blood, she crawled from behind in the crowd and she touched. And the blind man cried out. Remember, I said Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. The woman wanted to touch Jesus. And the blind man wanted to be heard by Jesus. And so Zacchaeus watched. And the woman with the issue of blood touched. And the blind man cried out. And how did Jesus respond to each one of these people? Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus felt the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus heard the blind man. And we read in each one of these scriptures that in each case, Zacchaeus received salvation, forgiveness, and it says his entire house was saved. The woman with the issue of blood, she was healed, she was made whole, and Jesus said, peace. And the blind man received his sight, received salvation, and began to follow Jesus. They all had different situations, but what's interesting is what they were willing to do. Zacchaeus was willing to stand out to see Jesus. The woman was willing to be trampled on to touch Jesus. And the blind man was willing to be ridiculed to hear and be heard by Jesus. But there's a whole other group in this story. There's this crowd. There's this thronging. There's this press. And we can read their reaction in every story too. Because in the story of Zacchaeus, the crowd murmured, complained together, they gossiped, and they hated him. The woman they ignored, they pressed, they choked her out, and if there was blood, they were probably saying unclean and treating her unclean. And the blind man, they annoyed, they rebuked, they overlooked, and they literally tried to silence him from coming from Jesus hearing his voice. We are all humans. We live in a human world. And the message that I receive from God when I'm reading this is too often I let the crowd define my connection with Jesus. I let the people around me define whether I'm going to reach for Jesus or not. But these three people said, I don't care what the crowd is saying to me or about me or behind my back. I'm going to go towards Jesus. I'm going to seek Jesus. I'm going to stand out for Jesus and look for him. I'm going to reach to touch Jesus. I'm going to cry out for Jesus to be heard by Jesus. For me, it brings to mind the idea that you've heard the phrase that hurting people hurt people, but really just people hurt people. We're just stupid at times. I'm stupid at times. And too often, we can let our offenses and we can let the things that have been done to us or said to us keep us on the sideline or keep us in the back of the crowd or keep us from pressing into Jesus. But Jesus is saying the crowd doesn't matter. What matters is me and you connecting. And even though the crowd didn't want these people to get to Jesus, Jesus saw that they were seeking him and he said, that's the person I'm going after. Imagine the awkwardness of being in this big crowd following Jesus and you're, shh, shh, be quiet. We're trying to follow our God. This is our Messiah. He's like, oh, there's somebody seeking me. Dozens and thousands of people, whoever, however many people, it says multitudes thronging him, pressing against, and it's that person that's standing out to look for him. It's that person that's crawling to touch him. It's that person that's crying out to be heard by him. And Jesus is like, that person's seeking me. I'm going towards them. And so that's the encouragement in this story tonight. The encouragement is, if that's you, if you've been in that place, and you're just like, I don't know if I can do it anymore. The crowds are too big. The crowds are too tall. The crowds are too tight. The crowds are too loud. People have said bad things about me. Jesus is like, don't worry about the clouds. Crowds. Church, we can't let the crowds get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. That's what matters. It is being close to the Master. It is seeking after him that matters. And these people got it. You know, if I can just take a side moment here and say, you know, we talked about how the crowd was thronging and the crowd was pressing and the crowd was just all over everybody. When you read through that story, who's the crowd? Who's the crowd? We know who it is. They were people that were following Jesus. The followers of Jesus were shushing the blind man. They were ridiculing and gossiping about Zacchaeus. And the followers of Jesus were choking out and pushing back and ignoring the woman with the issue of blood. I'm just going to flip the whole story for just a minute, church. Can we talk as a church? We're the crowd. Too often, we focus on walking with Jesus, and we forget that we're supposed to follow Jesus and do what he did, not just walk around with him all day long, church. Our job is to do what he did. But too often, we get caught up in the gossiping and the holding back and the shushing because we want to walk in this nice little formation with everybody. And it's got to be perfect. And nope, this is the Messiah. Be quiet. No, he said he came to seek and save the lost and to bring sight to the blind and captivity and freedom from captivity and to bring beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. No, shh, be quiet. Church, we got to find ourselves in this story sometimes. Find yourself walking in that crowd. We can do it. We find ourselves walking in that crowd, and it's just like, I'm going to church. I'm doing all the right things. But I'm just walking in the crowd. And I'm more concerned about the crowd and not offending Jesus than I am about actually being close to him or doing the things he wants done. We can too easily find ourselves in the crowd, church, or as the crowd, following Jesus, so focused on him that we forget his purpose, which are the needy, the lost, the broken, the blind, and the sinners. But here's the other half story I didn't read. In Mark 2, verse 1, it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. Now, you've heard my first three stories, right? So this time, you're going to pick up on the cues when I read them, right? You guys are all going to get this? Okay. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press... That's verse 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Church, you see the similarities now, right? That's the kind of church Jesus is looking for. The church that says, you know what? The crowd doesn't matter. This person needs Jesus. I'm going to do what it takes to get him there. And it doesn't say that the man with palsy's faith brought him healing. It says their faith brought him healing. These are the people that said, I know it's not about sitting next to Jesus all the time and listening to sermons. I know it's about finding people that need help and helping them. I heard a guy one time say, he was teaching a lesson, and he said, when we will put ourselves between God and the needy, he will flow through us like we've never seen. But too often we are in the crowd and we are not putting ourselves between God and the needy. We are kicking the needy out of the way. We're pushing the sinners out and we're gossiping and we're saying bad things. And Jesus is like, I love that you're following me. I love that. That's awesome. But actually, I want this person to follow me too. Come on, let's get this guy. There's people out there that are looking to see Jesus and touch Jesus and be heard by Jesus. And we as a church can bring them through the roof. We can say, hold on, this is more important than this crowd. It's more important than Casey having a great seat at church. It's more important that this person can get to know Jesus. That's the crowd I want to be a part of. When we will put ourselves between God and the need, he will work in us. We will see miracles. There will be awesome things happening. But I think, church, too often we're waiting for God to work in us before we go to the needs. We're waiting for God, God, once I feel this special presence and this, and I feel like you're with me, and that doesn't align with the Bible, because everywhere else in the Bible he said, go, and I will be with you. He didn't say, I'm going to be with you, so go. He said, you go out there, I'm going to be with you. He didn't say, wait till everything's done and I've given you, you know, the 47, you know, thumb somethings and the fruits and the gifts and everything in the spirit and all this. He didn't say, do it. He said, go out there and do what I did. Let's find people with needs and help them. He's like, and when you go out there, don't worry about what you're going to say, because my spirit's just going to flow through you. That's the church that God's calling for. Okay, sorry. Back to the lesson. So these three people with three needs who had three different situations, but the same crowd, and approached it in three different ways. Jesus met them all. He saw that they were seeking after him. We have a God who is seeking seekers. We have a God who is looking for people that are looking for him. In all these stories, it says, more common things here, right? These are in all the stories. In all the stories, it says Jesus was passing by. He was with his crowds. Yes, he was with his followers. Yes, this may not have looked like when you started reading the story that this story was about Zacchaeus or Bartimaeus or the woman with issue of blood. But he wasn't just there for the crowds. Jesus wasn't just there for his followers. It may seem at times like you are on the outside. It may be because of your choices. It may be because of dumb luck. It may be because you were born feeling that way. Or maybe others have done this to you. But sometimes we can feel like we're not in the crowd and we don't belong. And sometimes we can feel like Jesus has forgotten about us. Or that we have been overlooked. Or that we are neglected. Or that we are not important. But Jesus is passing by for you. Jesus is passing by for me. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter if you're blind or you're a rich cheat sinner loser that everybody hates and gossips about. It doesn't matter if you have an issue of blood and everybody thinks you're unclean and weird. Jesus is passing by for you. We cannot allow the mindsets of the crowd. We cannot allow the mindsets of this world to say that that's not a God that I serve. The God that I serve wouldn't. You're not good enough. You know what's interesting is we will say that to other people, but to ourselves, it's hard to hear. It's a lot harder for me to say, hey, Justin, you're good enough for God than it is for me to hear, Peter, you're good enough for God. But his word is true. And we see that Jesus is passing by and he is wanting to meet needs. He's passing by for you. Luke first chapter 15, verse 1, it says this, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. I wonder what the crowd said about that. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto the Pharisees and scribes, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 90 and the 9 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 of the crowd which don't think they need repentance." I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at. I don't know when and how you're listening or taking part of this message. But God is trying to tell us that you're important and that your need is important and that he's seeking seekers. And so just keep seeking. Just keep trying to get closer to God. Try to touch him. Try to see him. Try to be heard by him. Because for just one person, all the heavens rejoice. One person. Greater joy over one sinner than repentance and changing their way than 99 righteous people, which probably need to repent. It doesn't matter if we are lost or short or a sinner. It doesn't matter if we are a cheat or a poor or if we're rich. It doesn't matter if we're healed or whole or blind. It doesn't matter if we have been hurt or have hurt. Jesus is seeking us. But we can't just sit on the side. We can't just sit in the back of the crowd. We can't use the crowd as our excuse. These people hurt me. This church is weird. This one people I knew. We can't use that. It doesn't matter. Forget all of the organization, all of that stuff. You know what's important? Jesus. Jesus is important. And he's looking for people to seek him. He is seeking people who feel lost, who feel like they might be on the outside or outnumbered or outcast. He is looking for people who are seeking him, people who are looking for him. And so don't stop looking for Jesus. Don't stop calling out for Jesus. Don't stop trying to touch Jesus because he is only a moment away. Don't let the things in your life stop you from reaching Jesus. We can't do that. He doesn't want us to. Jesus is so much about seeking seekers that at the very end of the story, of his story on earth, in John 18, verse 4, I find this comical. Maybe he put this just in here, the verse, for my humor. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're coming to get him, to crucify him. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things, that they should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Who seek ye?" Then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." Even his persecutors found him. Even to his last breath, he's like, "Are you seeking me? You're seeking me? Hey, awesome, another seeker. I found another one. Oh, this one's coming to kill you. That's okay, I found one." Jesus is seeking seekers to his very last opportunity. The last one of the last things he does, someone's coming to persecute him. He's like, "Are you seeking me? Are you? Is this? You are? Yes, I found another one." Even at the end and at the point of death, if someone is seeking Jesus, he will be found of them. We cannot allow the crowds to impact our decision to seek Jesus. We cannot miss his message because of their message. You ever heard the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Right? It's kind of the same idea, right? We can't be so caught up in the messenger that we lose the message. Don't confuse his message. Don't miss his message because of the situation's message. Don't miss out on what God has for you because of other people, church. The worst thing we can do is tie ourselves to hurts. The worst thing we can do is tie ourselves to unforgiveness and bitterness. The only person that hurts is you because the other person don't even know about it. Stay focused on him. In all three stories, the three people we read, their desire to be changed was greater than their desire to fit in or be popular. Their desire to be changed was greater than their desire to fit in and be popular. In all three of the stories, their desire to see, touch, and hear Jesus was greater than their fear of what people would think or say about them. We're talking about seeking Jesus. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Let's stand tonight. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. So often I pray this prayer. So often I quote this to God to remind him, God, I'm trying to draw nigh to you. Keep drawing nigh unto me. But this is a promise in James. If we will draw nigh unto God, if we will seek him, we will be found of him. Acts 17, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. It may feel like Jesus is far. It may feel like things are too tall or too loud or too compact, but Jesus is not far from you. Verse 28, for in him we live and we breathe. Sorry, in him we live and move and we have our being. And the last verse I want to read is from John 4, verse 23. Let's set the stage here. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. The woman that's had, I don't know, seven husbands or something, right? The guy she's with isn't her husband. This is not the kind of woman that the leader of some Christian group should be hanging out with. By himself at a well in the middle of the day. And he's witnessing to this woman and telling her things. And he says in verse 23, but the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking seekers. He's not seeking crowds. He's not seeking perfection. He's not seeking sinlessness. He's seeking seekers. And if we will just start there, he'll do the work in our lives. It says that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it. He will do the work in our lives. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, Jesus is passing by and he is seeking you. Jesus wants to know you. Jesus wants to touch you. He wants to see you. He wants you to see him. He wants to be heard of you and have you hear him. He wants to save you and forgive you. This is the Jesus that I follow. This is the Jesus that isn't afraid, church, of the sinner. That's not afraid of the blind person. That's not afraid of someone being too loud or a little awkward or climbing a tree or having a bad past. This is the church that I belong to. The church that wants to put themselves between God and the needy. And when we start to see it from that perspective, maybe, just maybe, we can start to do what he did. I don't know what part of this was for you tonight. I don't know what part of it God is speaking into your heart, but I want to open up a chance to pray. If you felt on the outside and you felt like, man, the crowds, or I'm not good enough, oh, you're so wrong. Jesus loves you so much. And he wants to find you and see you and touch you and know you. And And maybe you're somebody else and you found yourself as a part of the crowd before. That's okay. Because just like the sinner and just like the stupid person in the crowd, Jesus wants to be close to you. He is seeking seekers. Let's take some time and seek our God today. Let's seek our God today. Let's not worry about the crowd or this week or the things that happened or the things that have offended or the things that might happen. But let's just seek our God today. Because that's what he's looking for. Let's pray. Come on down.